Today, financial markets are liquidity black swans emerging. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Superficially, and to the relief of many, this past week has been a little less volatile than of late. However, below the surface, questions of liquidity and financial stability do appear to be lurking. For example, about a quarter of US debt matures in the next 12 months. The last two times we saw similar refinancing pressures, policy rates were at 0%. Today, rates are at 3.75%, with the market pricing fewer than two cuts by the end of the year. US debt is rising by about $1 trillion every 100 days, and interest payments are passing $1 trillion a year. Albert Edwards noted recently, part of the currency debasement trade is that in the face of fiscal incontinence, central banks have no intention of returning inflation back to a 2% inflation target. More likely, it's closer to 3% or above. That'll be the new target in an effort to, quote, burn away excess nominal debt. Or again, margin calls on silver contracts, if they were to go above 100 US, would put huge pressure on some of the large banks, forcing them to unload paper contracts well below spot levels to contain prices, suggesting people don't want paper promises in 6 months' time, they want the metal now. And elsewhere, almost 40% of Canadian real estate investment funds are stopping investors from pulling their money out due to the Canadian housing market collapse. Oh, and the repo markets, where of course the Fed returned as an active buyer of short-term US government debt to better manage market liquidity and maintain control over interest rates, seems, well, hyperactive as more players seek liquidity support. And for the first time in three decades, central banks hold more gold than US debt. Is every nation losing trust in the US dollar? Perhaps foreign countries don't care about earning interest anymore. They're terrified of losing their principal. So in short, plenty of potential black swans out there. And in that context, it's worth noting that the global MSCI index was down across the week by 1.92%, while the Stoxx 600 in Europe was up by 0.77%. And in the US, all three major US benchmarks slipped, giving up earlier modest gains on Friday in New York, as investors repositioned their bets on who will succeed Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve ahead of a long weekend. US markets will be closed on Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. For the week, the S&P 500 was down 0.3%, the NASDAQ declined 0.66%, and the Dow fell 0.29%. The week also saw money shifting out of some heavyweight tech names into more undervalued areas, with mid- and small-cap stocks outperforming the benchmark S&P 500. The Russell 2000 index, for example, was up 0.2%, outperforming the S&P 500 for an 11th straight session. Big US banks posted mostly solid results this week as the S&P 500 reporting period got underway. Still, shares of banks and other financial institutions have been pressurized by worries over US President Donald Trump's proposals for a one-year cap on credit card interest rates at 10%. The S&P 500 financial sector ended up just 0.1% on Friday, but posted its biggest weekly percentage decline since October. The tech sector has also been in focus in the wake of chipmaker TSMC's record high fourth quarter profit. The company, of course, is a key supplier to US tech majors such as Nvidia and Apple, and they've benefited greatly from an AI-driven surge in chip demand in recent years. Investors also digested news that Trump said he may want to keep economic advisor Kevin Hassett in his current role, lowering market bets that Hassett would succeed Fed Chair Jerome Powell. And there was more economic data to digest on Friday, with industrial production climbing 0.4% on the month in December, while manufacturing production gained 0.2% over the course of the same month. Those numbers were stronger than expected and continued the week's healthy view of the country's economy. On Thursday, US initial jobless claims unexpectedly fell 298,000 last week. That's below the 215,000 forecast, highlighting continued labour market strength. The data reinforced market views that the Fed will keep policy rates steady for longer, resulting in traders pushing back expectations for the first rate cut towards the middle of the year. Chicago Fed President Austin Goodsby said on Thursday that amid ample evidence of stability in the job market, the central bank should be focused on getting inflation down. And Kansas City Fed President Jeff Schmidt called inflation too hot, while San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly said the incoming U.S. economic data looked, quote, promising. The yield on the 10-year surged 6 basis points to 4.23%, and the 2-year was at 3.595%. U.S. bond investors are bracing for higher long-term yields as a criminal investigation of the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has fueled expectations of elevated inflation, a move that can end up amplifying affordability concerns. The probe from the Department of Justice drew a sharp rebuke from Powell when he revealed it over last weekend, calling the move a pretext to influence interest rates. President Donald Trump has demanded the Fed cut rates sharply since resuming office last January and frequently criticized Powell for not responding. Investors fear any erosion of confidence in the Fed's independence and commitment to price stability could lift inflation expectations, driving a steeper yield curve going forward as market participants demand extra compensation to hold longer dated treasuries. That could ripple through credit markets and impact affordability, a top concern for voters as mortgage rates are tied to long-term yields. In a note, City Economist said that while the Fed will be in a blackout period next week leading into its month-end policy meeting, President Trump could make some important announcements during his Davos appearance. Our baseline outlook for this year involves slowing inflation, a gradually loosening labour market, and a resilient consumer. Data out this week did nothing to change those projections, they said. More than 500 companies are set to report results across the globe next week, including Netflix, a raft of regional US banks, Intel, and Alcoa. Overall, 7% of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported actual results in the fourth quarter to date, with a blended earnings growth rate for the fourth quarter of 8.2%. President Donald Trump warned on Friday that he may impose tariffs on countries that don't go along with Greenland, which the president said is needed for national security. We need Greenland for national security. So I may do that, Trump said at the White House during a healthcare-related event. In a note to clients, the analysts, including Emmanuel Cao, flagged that the US is lagging behind most regional equity markets so far this year, with Japan, China, and Europe strongly outperforming. And elsewhere, Mark Carney said that Canada and China had agreed to slash tariffs on electric vehicles and canola as part of a promise between both countries to forge new strategic ties in the face of a trade dispute with the US. And Carney also spoke about, quote, a new world order. The commodities heavy S&P TSX Composite Index in Canada gained to end at 33,040, notching a fresh closing record for a third consecutive session. Now, silver has sharply outperformed in recent months, with prices posting gains in days that previously took months or even years to achieve. The move has been described by analysts as unusually strong. Silver futures are already up over 25% year to date, which is unprecedented. It was last at $88.53. An important aspect of this rally is a growing role for retail participation, setting silver apart from other precious metals and broader commodity markets. Bank of America commodity strategist Michael Widmer said the rally had exceeded expectations even for a house that was already constructive on the metal, and he noted that the surge has come alongside a sharp increase in realized volatility, adding that such moves are usually followed by corrections, but dips have been shallow this time around, at least so far. While acknowledging the strength of the rally, Widmer cautioned that prices had moved well beyond levels justified by fundamentals. We estimate that a fundamentally justified silver price is closer to $60 an ounce at present, and we're concerned about further violent price swings, he said. But the banks does not dismiss the potential for much higher prices under certain circumstances. But Widmer said that if retail investors continue to increase exposure at the same pace seen in the third quarter of 2025, silver could extend much further. Beyond price momentum, Bank of America highlights silver's renewed role as a hedge against broader monetary concerns. Persistent anxiety around fiat currencies, the rise of crypto and stable coins, and potential disruptions to traditional banking systems are reinforcing silver's appeal as a tangible, non-digital store of value. It remains strong for retail investors, he said. Gold, by the way, was at 4,595, still at highs, but with less momentum than silver, at least for now. European stocks retreated on Friday, ending the week on a negative note as investors continued to fret over ongoing geopolitical developments. The DAX index in Germany dropped 0.3%, the CAC 40 in France declined 0.7%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK fell 0.1%. A meeting between top US officials and Danish and Greenlandic foreign ministers earlier in the week failed to result in agreement over the future of the Arctic territory, with the Danish Prime Minister stating that there remained a fundamental disagreement with the US after President Donald Trump again insisted the US needed Greenland. And they also warned that a conflict with the US over Greenland could spell the end of NATO, the international military alliance that both the US and Denmark, along with other European nations, belong to. A fracturing of the alliance could mean that European countries face one-notch credit rating downgrades. According to Fitch Ratings, they said that the agency might consider applying a one-notch adjustment to European sovereign ratings if the defense alliance weakened. And they noted proximity to Russia will be a key factor in determining vulnerability. European nations, including from Germany, France, Norway, and Sweden, have already begun deploying troops to Greenland in a show of support, despite Trump's new tariff warnings, of course. Data released earlier on Friday showed that German consumer prices were unchanged in December, climbing just 1.8% on the year. That's below the European Central Bank's 2% medium-term target. The ECB has kept rates on hold since ending a rapid rate rise, a rate cut cycle in June, and signaled last month it was in no hurry to change policy again since economic growth is surprisingly strong and inflation no longer seems to be an issue. There was little in the way of major quarterly earnings news from the European sector, but of course the numbers on Thursday from Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing resulted in strong gains from the likes of Dutch semiconductor equipment maker ASML. After edging lower earlier in the session, oil prices traded a little higher on Friday, pulling back after previous session's hefty losses as concerns surrounding an immediate US strike on Iran receded, easing supply risks. Brent futures gained 1.2% to $64.20 a barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate crude futures rose 1.3% to $59.44 a barrel. Both contracts plunged more than 4% in the previous session after President Trump said Tehran's crackdown on the protesters was easing, allaying worries about possible military action that could disrupt oil supplies. European corporate earnings are set to decline in the fourth quarter, the latest forecast showed on Thursday, as geopolitical uncertainty mounts and the market waits a decision from the US Supreme Court on the legality of President Donald Trump's tariffs. European firms are expected to report a 4.1% drop in 2025 fourth quarter earnings on average. That's according to LSEG, worse than the 3.9% decrease analysts expected a week ago. That'll be the worst earnings performance in the past seven quarters. Asian stocks were a mixed bag on Friday too, as technology shares advanced, tracking positive earnings from chipmaker Bellwether TSMC, but losses in other sectors limited overall gains. Heightened geopolitical tensions across the globe also remain in focus, with unrest in Iran and a US incursion in Venezuela keeping market optimism muted. Tech-heavy Asian exchanges rose on Friday, with South Korea's KOSPI up over 1% on gains in the local chip maker. Samsung Electronics rallied 3.5%, while SK Hynix added 0.8%. That came largely after TSMC, the world's largest contract chip maker, clocked stronger than expected fourth quarter earnings on Thursday and signaled that artificial intelligence-fueled demand remained strong. TSMC jumped 2.1% to a record high in Taiwan trade after its US shares surged by over 4%. The company is widely regarded as a bellwether for chip and AI demand, with its positive earnings sparking a rally across tech stocks. The US and Taiwan also clinched a deal on Thursday that cut tariffs on many of the semiconductor powerhouse's exports, directs new investment towards the US technology industry, and risks infuriating China. Tech shares in Japan and Hong Kong also advanced on Friday, although the Nikkei 225 and the Hang Seng were held back by losses in other sectors. The Nikkei fell 0.5%, extending the decline from record highs hit earlier in the week, and the Hang Seng was flat. Both indices faced some profit-taking in major names after marking a strong start to the year. Concerns over a China-Japan bank spat also does remain in play. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices fell about 0.2% on Friday, extending losses after tumbling from multi-year highs this week. China on Friday tightened its restrictions on high-frequency trading, calling for the removal of services dedicated to automated trades. The move came just days after the country hiked its margin financing requirement for stock trading in an attempt to curb overspeculation and lower market risk. But investors reacted largely negatively to the developments amid concerns of government overreach in China's capital markets. Mainland exchanges fell sharply as a result. Focus did remain on Beijing's efforts to release more stimulus and to support the Chinese economy after data for December showed some signs of improvement, especially in Chinese spending. Markets were awaiting key gross domestic product data for the fourth quarter due out on Monday for more definitive cues on the Chinese economy. GDP is expected to have accelerated amid continued stimulus measures from Beijing and as the year-end holidays encourage spending. The focus will be squarely on whether the economy matched Beijing's 5% annual GDP target. Broader Asian markets were a mixed bag as well. India's Nifty 50 index rose 0.11%, recovering some ground after tumbling on heightened concerns over deteriorating trade ties with the US. The Asian share market notched its longest winging streak in 8 months on Friday, with the ASX 200 closing higher as gains in banks and technology stocks outweighed profit-taking miners. The ASX 200 added 0.5% to 8,903, its highest level since late October. The benchmark rose across all five sessions to finish the week up 1.6%, marking its longest stretch of gains since an eight-session rally back in May 2025. Technology led eight sectors higher after the TSMC results, allaying and easing concerns over weakness in AI-related demand. NextDC rose 3.5% to $13, and Life360 added 1.7% to $29.23. The major banks underpinned Friday's advance, with Commonwealth Bank and ANZ both up 0.5% to $154.30 and $37.52, respectively. National Australia Bank was 0.7% up to $42.67, and Westpac 1.8% higher to $39.19. Macquarie was 2.6% higher to $211.86. Miners lagged as investors locked in profits following strong commodity-driven gains earlier in the week. BHP fell 0.8% to $48.99, after rallying more than 6% this week on higher copper and metals prices. Oil tumbled after US President Donald Trump softened talk of intervention in Iran, and energy stocks followed the move lower, with Woodside down 1.4% to $23.68 and Santos by 1.6% to $6.23. James Hardie gained 2% to $35.70 after announcing plans to shut manufacturing facilities in California and South Carolina. Citi estimates the move could lift profit by 2 to 3%. In the fiscal year 2027, and Capstone Copper jumped 7.1% to $15.60 after meeting annual copper guidelines of 224,764 tons. That's a company record. Catalyst Metals climbed 14.7% to $9 after Bolpotter raised its price target to $13.50 on the back of record quarterly production at Plutonic. And Novonix died 15.8% to 42.5 cents after it pushed back the start of mass production of anode materials for Panasonic Energy for the second half of 2027 from this year. Perseus Mining fell 1.4% to $5.83 after it said an employee at its all haulage contractor Bin Kadi died in an off-site vehicle accident near the Bango gold mine in Côte d'Ivoire on Thursday. The Aussie was at 66.84 US cents and 49.96 UK pence. Bitcoin fell at the end of the week, trimming some recent gains after US lawmakers delayed a closely watched bill that aims to establish a regulatory framework for digital assets. The world's largest crypto rose as high as 96,000 US this week, but this recovery was short-lived as sentiment towards crypto markets remains, well, pretty muted. It was last at 95,081, though Bitcoin has traded up about 5% across the week, as it also benefited from some bargain buying after a muted start to the year. A bulk of the coin's gains actually this week came after top corporate holders Strategy disclosed a purchase of over $1 billion worth of Bitcoin, drumming up some hopes over improving corporate demand for the coin. But retail demand remains under pressure as broader sentiment towards crypto markets does remain skittish, Bitcoin continued to trade at a discount on Coinbase to the global average, indicating that retail sentiment in the US, the biggest crypto market, does remain weak. US lawmakers earlier in the week delayed a key decision on a planned crypto regulatory framework after Coinbase Global opposed the bill in its current version. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong criticized the bill's treatment of stablecoins, specifically in that it limits the ability of crypto firms to offer yields or rewards on their customers' stablecoin holdings. Optimism over the bill had driven some gains in Bitcoin over the week as markets cheered the prospect the proposed regulatory clarity the bill would have provided. But crypto bulls had balked at the bill's provision for stablecoins. Now, Coinbase, of course, was a major donor during the 24 election cycle. The largest crypto exchange in the US is viewed as having much pull in crypto-related lawmaking. Now, looking ahead, December unemployment data will be released next Thursday in an otherwise quiet week in Australia. NAB is expecting the unemployment rate to hold at 4.3%, with the economy adding more than 40,000 jobs, anticipating some payback from recent soft outcomes. Investors will continue to focus on the US, with the potential Supreme Court ruling on Trump's tariffs, possibly as early as Tuesday. And the World Economic Forum, or Davos, meeting of global elites will be held from January the 19th to the 23rd. The program includes the EU President Ursula von der Leyen, French President Emmanuel Macron, and Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney. They're all set to speak separately. Trump is scheduled to speak at 2 p.m. on the 21st of January. And the political leaders of Egypt, Spain, and Argentina are also set to speak separately, of course, on January 21st. And we're also going to get addresses from the Prime Minister of Greece, the President of Israel, and Germany's Chancellor, and the President of Indonesia. So all the great and the good, all powerful possibly, are there. So the outcomes of Davos aside, the markets, I think, will go sideways for a little while now, given that we know that there are a lot of cracks below the surface, black swan events around the corner, and a lot of open questions at the moment. So we'll watch and wait to see how this all plays out. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.